getting ready to receive tithes and offerings. I'm reading out of Exodus 35:20. It says, "The whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and with whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as special offerings to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat hair for cloth, and tan ram skins and fine goat skin leather. And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord. And those who had acacia wood brought it for the use in the project. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. The leaders brought onyx stones and special gemstones to be set in the ephod of the priest's chest piece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, and the fragrance incense. So the people of Israel, of every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord, had given them through Moses, brought their gifts, and gave them freely to the Lord." So the Israelites gave a free will offering. No one had to force them to do it. It's kind of the best way to do it. It wasn't anything that's forced. I mean, they brought the bracelets, the rings. I mean, they had gold tooth. They brought it. Giving is a choice, and it was for the Israelites. They gave because they wanted to give. It wasn't forced upon them. Their giving was more so heartfelt than anything else. Giving is something that is every community should do in order to flourish. If you have a society where everyone just takes and takes and takes, you will start seeing decay from within. God is the ultimate giver, and we know that in John 3:16, where he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It's his very nature. He doesn't ever stop giving. Even in the last days, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." When we give unto others, it shifts our focus from us to other people that God has put around us. It also helps to define our character. You know, giving is more than just money. It's your time, your skill set, your abilities, all those things. This past weekend, Ethan's side of the family, I mean, they were giving. They were helping. They were preparing. They just had bought a house, and him and JC, and everyone was just pitching in, giving. Whatever they could, they were giving. So when it comes to giving, decide in your heart how much you want to give. Not because you need something in return, but because you are humble enough to say, "Father, you are my source." A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Ushers, can you bring baskets? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. We thank you for the generous hearts that are here today, Lord. And we just pray for those who aren't, and we just believe that they will be able to sow to you or sow to wherever you told them to, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What were you talking about the last couple of weeks? Anybody know? Remember? What's that? Not giving up. Trusting in God. Trusting in God. Again, you don't have to figure everything else out in your life yourself. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to DIY it. You don't have to do it yourself. So what does that mean? Trusting God at his word. It means no matter what the situation looks like, you don't budge. If what you've been believing the Lord for, Lord, we're believing for this, doesn't matter what anyone else says, this is where it's going. Even when it looks like nothing's going to change, you stick with that. You don't back down. You don't give up. "Well, I've been praying, Lord, I've been praying, and it still doesn't seem like anything's going to happen." You don't back down to what his word says. When all hell is broken loose, you don't budge an inch from his promise. You are anchored in his faith. And Psalms 50:15 says this: "Honor me by trusting in me in your day of trouble. Cry out loud to me, and I will be there to rescue you." The Father doesn't want you crying out to anyone else but him. And it's not a cry of it doesn't have to be a cry of desperation. Sometimes it may. But as long as you do it to him, that's a good thing. But understand the character and nature of God. He doesn't want us crying out of desperation. Where he wants us to be is to be the first resort rather than the last option. He wants to be the first resort. He wants to be the first option in our life, not the last. And usually when people are crying out in desperation, it's because they've tried everything else. Now they're trying God. It's this confidence that you have in him, not in an arrogant and prideful way, but in an assuring way, an assuring way. The situation you are facing right now is a temporary thing. Temporary. Whatever it is, it's temporary. No matter how hard you think it's going, it's a temporary thing. It's going to change. It will be subject to change. The heartache, the pain, the health issues, the money problem, the loneliness, these are all temporary issues. And if it's temporary, then it will change. Nothing in your life on this earth will last forever but our relationship with Jesus. All these things are temporary. But that. 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 18 says this. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I cried, I spoke. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus, who also raised us with Jesus, and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, well, what? So our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on that eternal glory. Our focus is spending eternity with him. Our focus is on the healing that he has provided through his salvation. Our focus is on the restoration of our families. Our focus is on those things that he has called us to, rather than the giants, rather than the problems. You can have so much. I mean, you know, when you anybody play baseball here? Your focus ain't the crowd. It's on the ball that's coming. You're in the stadium. You're focused on calling the plays and making sure that your guys hear it. If there's an audible, you got to call that. You got to be able to hear it. That's your focus. You're on the line. You got to wait till that ball snaps. It's your focus. You can lose focus. They lost focus last week, right? Who's that, Chiefs? They lost focus. Wasn't focused. Works out good for me. I'm glad you weren't focused. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Everywhere you turn, there's something or someone coming for you, but you are not crushed. You're here. The reason why you're here is because you didn't give up and it couldn't take you out. Whatever it was, and you're still living. You're still breathing. You're still able to strive. You're still able to live another day. We are perplexed. That means filled with uncertainties at times, but we are not driven to despair, which is a point of hopelessness. We're all as lost. God is faithful. He's going to turn your situation around. People can surround you all they want and try to intimidate you, laugh at you, sow seeds of doubt in you. But here's the thing. God wants you to know that they can't touch you. They can say what they want, but they can't touch you. The prophet Elijah and his servant were surrounded by the Aramean army. Y'all remember that? They woke up one day, and the servant looked out and was like, whoa. Army surrounding him. Elijah, Elisha. He already understood what being focused with God was, trusting in him. His servant's like, what are we going to do? He was in fear. He was panicking. And a lot of times people in your life around you could be panicking, but you can just say, hey, there's more with us than there is with them. And Elisha just prayed a simple prayer. He says, Lord, open up his eyes so that he may see. Open up the eyes. And he, all around that army, armies of horses and chariots, God's army. And so when people are surrounding you, you got to understand they're surrounded by God's angels, God's armies. I'm reminded of a man who was Daniel, I believe. He talked about a story how he was going, he was just going through the Philippines and up in the mountains and stuff like that. There was robbers on the road trying to get him and stuff, and he's preaching the gospel, and evil men come to him. They want his stuff. He's like, talk to my angel. Just keeps on moving. That's some good faith. That's faith in God. That's trusting in God and who he is rather than just panicking and acting like, all hell is going to break loose in our life. Doesn't matter if it is. I say God is still on his throne. Your trusting in God shows that you are living by faith, which is the assurance of the things you've hoped for. In Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the assurance. It's the Amplified Version. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed in the senses. The word assurance can also mean this: substance, essence, confidence, concretely, a setting under. It actually comes from two words in the Greek. One which means under, and the other which means to stand on. My dad built houses out in Southern California, and they will build a whole track of houses all the way there, like a whole neighborhood, just boom, just put it up over a month or 2 month period of time. And one of the first things that come and do, they level out the ground, all that stuff, they got the plans ready. Then the next crew will come in and lay down the foundation, they'll pour the concrete. Then the next crew will come in and they'll be the foreman and put all the studs and where everything needs to go. And then we come in and we built the house, and then people will come in and put the plywood and the roof on. And so it was just a crew after crew after crew. But it needed a firm foundation. Our faith in God is that firm foundation. And our hope is built on that foundation. If your hope is built on something else other than Jesus Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ, you ain't going to receive it. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. If your hope isn't in the faith of Jesus Christ, it isn't going to mean anything. Faith in God is the firm foundation that we are to build our hopes on top of. It's a quality type of faith like no other, which helps us to stand under any kind of pressure or trial or hardship or suffering that comes and tries to wreck all of our hopes and dreams that we have in Jesus. In Romans 5 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. If you got a pen, you can highlight, we have peace with God. Then in verse 2, it says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. That undeserved privilege is basically access into God's presence. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We also have hope.
Here's what I found.
All right. Thank you, Siri.
I found this on the web.
All right. We got you, brother. Get out of here. Cool. Y'all know, y'all like how I got the brother talking, right? Verse 3, it says, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Here's the thing. Believers are the only ones that can rejoice in suffering. We can rejoice in suffering. I don't know about you. I said, that's just another level. That's another level. We can rejoice in the sufferings because we know that since they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to us. That's a good thing. If you're not suffering in any kind of way in your life, man, I just want everything just to be nice, calm, cool, collected, what have you, and never have any problems, no trouble. Well, you're not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You're like making no splashes whatsoever. We want to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. In verse 4 says, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit, he was a gift given to us. We get all the best gifts from God. He's a giver. And we get all the best gifts. We're not powerless. We're not abandoned. We have Christ on our side. We have a great cloud of witnesses. We have his word. My God, how much more do we need? Honestly, how much more do we need? He's like, I've given you everything. And in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And sometimes we will act as if we just can't get throughout the day. Why? Because we probably been doing it our own, and we didn't try to use God. We didn't lean onto him. God doesn't go halfway in his giving. So you know that this hope that you have in Jesus and in our salvation, the confidence that we have in him is that he will see it through. Whatever he started in you, he will see it through. We don't run, imagine running this race and be like, get to the end and then, geez, well, you were just in a rat race. No, that's not it. God is going to see his eternal salvation in you. He's going to see it through. There's a prize at the end. There's crowns to be achieved. There are awards that need to be handed out for going through what you've gone through while trusting in God. When Jesus comes back, the thing is, will he find faith here on earth? We can cry out to him and cry out to him by cry out to him, but we also need to trust him. Trust him at his word. So sometimes that just means to be quiet. Sometimes that just means, God, I trust you. I'm not even going to worry about it. And then when people are looking at you and saying, how come you're not worried? I'm not worried about it. God's got it. He's got it. I said it. I spoke it. I believe it. I receive it. Now I'm just going to act on what? Trusting in God is a whole nother level. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without it. That's like building a house on a beach with no solid foundation. It's very easy to rely on our own strengths and for certain things that we have in life. But when we trust God, it helps to develop a character, a life of dependency on him rather than on ourselves. When we trust in him, we admit that we can do it all. We can't do it all on our own. We're admitting that to God when we trust in him. We have limitations, so it's important that we seek out what he wants for us. So making plans to do things on your own will probably help you get to the things done a lot quicker. And you won't be out of control on everything. See, in Proverbs 3, it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. All your heart. All your heart. That's 100% of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's 100%. Every area of your life, 100%. Trust him. Nothing left after that. The wisdom of God will lead you down the right path where you will not stumble. Praying that God leads us on a straight path should be our prayer for everyone. Should be our prayer every single day. Lord, lead us on a straight path. David prayed this. Lead us not into temptation. Well, Jesus prayed that. But David has said, lean not. I don't want to depend on you, on my ways. We all know David messed up. David defeated his giants, but his desires got the best of him. His own desires got the best of him. He defeated giants. He went after Goliath's brothers, but his own desires from within got the best of him. He doesn't want to trust on his own understanding. He doesn't want to trust in himself. He doesn't want to depend on himself. He wants to depend on God. And Isaiah 26 says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are, what? Fixed on you. No matter what stage you are in life, if you want the perfect peace of God, you're going to have to trust him. If you want the perfect peace of God in your life, you're going to have to trust him. Psalm 37 says this, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will what? You know, he wants to help you. He really do wants to help you. You don't have to be brave. I can do it myself. You know, one of the things, I love my wife, but there's no but in that, but I'm just. But sometimes, like she had knee surgery one time, and again, she can't sit still for certain things. She'd get up and run. I said, hey, babe, I understand you got to be moving, but she started trying to walk on it and stuff like that. It's like, come on now. Let me get this for you. If I leave, she's up and around doing stuff. Then I see her bandage all bloodied up because she's been walking too much. You're going to have to trust. Trust me in this. I can help you out. And God's saying, you don't have to go around being all bloodied up and stuff and bleeding on everybody else. And when you go through your battle scars, your wounds and things like that, I said, sometimes we go through all that and then we end up bleeding on everybody else around us. It's like, if you just trust me, you don't have to do that. We can get you healed up, bandaged up, get you right back out there, but you're going to have to get to the place to where you actually trust me. You have to trust him. Well, you don't have to. You get to. And it's a good thing. But if you don't, I'll just make sure I got some stuff on so you don't bleed all over me. Trusting in Jesus is the firm foundation on which our hope is built on. It's the foundation. Trusting in God. So what do I teach my kids? Trust in God. Whatever situation you got going on in your life, trust in Him. That's what you teach them. You don't teach them to try to make them. I said, now, you want your kids. Sometimes it's kind of nice as a dad to have your sons and daughters, what have you, to come to you and ask you questions, and it's good. But sometimes those bigger ones are like, what does the word say? See, that's where you can really, really help them, because your responsibility is to send them off so that they can live life themselves, for themselves. So you got to get to the place to where they have to trust God, because we're going to come and go. When we're gone, who are they going to have? He's still going to be here. So it's important for us to teach them, trust in Him. That is the foundation. You raising your kids, trust in the Lord. Always. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all quiet today. I wish Telly was here. I tell him, trust in the Lord. I might talk about him for a little bit. He's told me his story. And I don't know if y'all heard his story. But if you have time, listen to it. Because it's a good story. God changed his life. But he had to get to that place. He was doing it on his own. Trust in the Lord and do not depend on your own understanding. And he's still learning that. But the reality of it is, God has changed his life and touched his life. So, with that being said, we just get in agreement with him, because there's certain things that's going on in his life that he's got to get to the place where he's got the favor of the Lord in him. Dexter, where's your firm foundation? Is your firm foundation, is it in Jesus? Jesus, amen. 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 You trust him. I don't think you ever lose again in your life when you trusted him, because it's never over. You wake up the next day, new mercies. It's never over. You got to trust. It's another opportunity to live by faith. And I like that. Hallelujah. I'm not cross-sided, please. I'm not. Is she looking at me? Yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you and I'm looking over here. No, that's not me. You know God loves you very much. Hallelujah. Very much. And he wants you to trust him at his word. And he's getting ready to turn your situation around. Trust him. All the stuff that you know to do, stop that and trust him. He's going to make a way. Don't give up. Thank you, Jesus. Mr. Parker. You're a good dad, you know that? And you got a good father, too. Not just Mr. Parker, but your Heavenly Father. Don't fear making that next step in life. Trust Him. Sometimes you might want to be hesitant to do what you know to do inwardly, but just trust Him. He's going to see it through. Good things for your family and the little one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? You came here on a Wednesday night one time, didn't you? Yeah. Has been a while. You told me your story a long time ago, too, didn't you? I remember that. Good to see you. Praise God. Trust Him. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. If there's anyone here who's never asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, never received Him as your Lord and Savior, you want to do that today, just raise your hand and we will pray with you. We will get in agreement with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that today, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that every soul in here has been touched by you. We thank you that every heart is open to receive what you have for them, Lord. And we thank you for them being able to move them to that next level where you have them going, to where they fully are trusting in you. They don't have to fear anymore, Lord. They don't have to fear the unknown. But they will rely on your word. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.